For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson, and welcome to the Friday News Feedback. I'd like to welcome Discovery News reporters James Williams and Jorge Ribas.
What's up, Will?
Hello, Will.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, good.
Nothing says Friday like the Friday News Feedback.
So true, so true.
Every Friday, James and Jorge bring us their three favorite stories of the week on our Discovery News podcast, and we then leave it up to you, our listeners, to call us or email us with the story you like the most for whatever reason you like the story, and the reporter whose story gets the most votes wins. Currently, the score is, I believe, 12 to 10 with Jorge in the lead. Is that right?
No.
Oh, with James in the lead. Sorry. Jorge had such an edge for a while.
You know, we've never really determined at the end of the day what we win besides a little pride, though. Maybe like when it's all said and done and the score is 1,000 and something.
Do you know
900 and something?
Do you know who always asks me what the score is?
Who?
My mom.
Really?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's interesting, actually.
She asks you every day?
No, but every now and then she'll be like, hey, how's that feedback going?
I love how she asks, like, is that all she asks? She doesn't ask how work is going or how the family is. She just asks, what's the score of the news feedback?
Yeah, and then she hangs up, and then I wait and talk to her next week.
Well, needless to say, it's an important thing. And you guys take it seriously. We all take it seriously. Our listeners do, too. And I'll tell you how to email us or call us at the end of this podcast to tell us how to pick your choice for the stories of the week, or the story of the week, rather. First of all, let's reveal the winner from last week. You guys ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
Well, we got, as always, we have a lot of emails coming in, and some new emails every week, and some phone calls as well. Well, here's the deal. A lot of people agreed with this guy.
Hi, my name is Russell. I'm a student at the University of Massachusetts at Amherst, and like to vote for the egg story because every time I make eggs, I look at them and I'm like, there's got to be something I can do with the shells. And, you know, just like you were saying, putting them down the garbage disposal or throwing them in the trash always seems like I'm wasting something that could be put to good use, so I'd like to vote for that story because I think hydrogen is definitely a good option.
Okay, so that was Jorge's story about eggshells, right?
Yeah.
However, a lot of people also emailed us and told us they liked the 3D printer story, how you could actually print things out. Or what was it, faxing? How did it work, Jorge?
It was printing, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you could print something out.
Like a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, sort of a bizarre story. A lot of people liked that, and in fact, I don't know how to tell you. Well, I'll just tell you, it was a tie.
A tie?
For the tie?
For the story, but both stories being Jorge's.
Oh, yeah, those are both Jorge's.
Yeah.
Right, so.
So I win.
Yeah, so
twice.
The story.
Not twice, literally, but.
You had a two-peat in 1 week. Congratulations, Jorge.
I appreciate that, James.
Sure thing.
Yeah. You guys are great. All right, well, let's jump into this week's stories. How about it?
All right. My first story is from the UC Irvine, and I think it's a pretty good story because scientists there think they figured out how to kill cancer stem cells with this new drug called imatinib, which I think I'm saying that right.
So this is like a certain type of cancer?
Leukemia.
Okay.
They're talking about leukemia,
right.
A certain type of leukemia. But they're saying that this drug, they basically came up with a mathematical formula that figures out how long cancer stem cells can go to sleep in a certain person, and then they figure out how long to keep this person on this particular drug so that when the stem cells wake up and start making cancer again, that they can get killed. So they figure all this stuff out, and it looks like they've been able to do it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So wait, so these cancer stem cells, like, go, is that like remission or no? That's when you're,
I think it's different. They stop, they just stop producing more cancer cells.
Okay.
So they kind of go to sleep, and then, so they figure out how long they go to sleep for, and then when they wake up and,
all right, well, it's way over our heads, but it's...
Yeah, I don't quite understand it, but I just like the fact that, you know, cure type of leukemia is in the headline, and that...
Pretty important.
Yeah.
All right. Story number one. Jorge, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean...
You're quiet over there.
I want you to speak for yourself. I mean, oncology isn't over my head, you know, I have...
Oh, sorry.
You know, 8 years...
Sorry. Yeah, all right.
No, I had no idea what James was saying.
Okay.
It sounded pretty amazing.
Basically, all you got to know is that somebody figured out how to kill or cure one type of cancer.
Yeah.
That's,
or at least,
yeah,
they're claiming.
And that's a good,
yeah,
thing.
Okay. All right, let's take it over to Jorge for your first story of the week.
Cool. Okay. So I've done several different stories. I think James and I have about problems with flying that we all have. James, you did that passenger error.
Yeah, but I think you actually have more of a problem with flying than
I do. I do. Well, another thing that is annoying about flying, but I understand why they do it, but it's how you can't bring, you know, all your, like, lotions and toothpaste and stuff through you like you used to be able to just check your bag. Now they just make you throw all that away, including water that you might have bought. you know, I understand why they do it, you know, but it's still kind of an annoyance. Well,
it's too bad they can't resell that stuff.
Right. They just throw it away. Yeah. You just turn around to the person next to you and be like, hey, I'll sell you this half tube of Colgate. Right.
But you know what, too? I'll bet the people who confiscate that stuff have the best hygiene any like, group of employees.
Well, yeah. I mean, imagine. I mean, there's some really expensive stuff out there.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I know. You know, I mean, maybe not stuff I carry on, but I know there's, I'm sure there's makeups and.
Dude, all that expensive hair paste.
Yeah. Hair gels.
Yeah.
All that. All
really
that
high stuff. End stuff can be hundreds of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Man, that's a nice perk.
You use a lot of products, right?
Yep.
Will?
Yep.
Okay.
Top of the line.
Well, then this pertains particularly to you, but the Department of Homeland Security is teaming up with the Los Alamos National Lab to come up with a way to screen this stuff using current X-ray screening technology. But they're using something that is similar to how MRI is, this magnetic resonance imaging. And what it would do is it would screen the, you know, the lotions and the toothpaste and screen them down to the molecular level and store them in a database. So basically this technology would store how these molecules and this stuff is supposed to look like. And when you're screening this all this stuff, if it comes out differently than what it's supposed to be, then they, you know, that would be cause for alarm. So like your mouthwash has certain molecules in it. No matter if it's any kind of mouthwash, when you get down to the molecular level, all looks the same. But if there's a differentiation in this molecular level, then they know that there's something wrong.
That's interesting, and it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Seems so then, like I mean, then you could, you know, just go about, you know, it would be very non-invasive. You can just kind of go through the X-ray screening like we normally do now, except it would be able to detect anything changing in this, on these in the molecules.
Because there's only so many things that people would carry aboard and onboard anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've kind of learned to get by it. You know, like now, you know, you just pack your stuff in the stuff that you check.
Right.
Could you use that to, like, tell the difference between, say, like, one major brand of soda and another major brand of soda?
I think...
Because some of those taste exactly the same.
Right.
Who knows? All right, well, interesting story, and hope, you know, that would seem to save us all a lot of time. James, back to you for story number two.
My next one is coming out of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and they are working with some high schools to put the... They have these special helmets that football players in college and pros use that detect... They have sensors in them, and they detect where players are getting hit in the heads, and so they can figure out which hits result in concussions and more severe brain injuries. And so now they're starting to implement those in high schools. And I guess their thought is that high schoolers' brains are going to be different, you know, may not be fully developed like the college or professional counterparts. And so they're thinking that they should look at how these guys are getting hit and all that sort of thing. And they say that they'll be able to determine how the younger players function on the field and gather data that will ultimately protect and treat these athletes.
So the helmet provides them, like, you know, statistics on where the hits are occurring in their helmets?
Mm-hmm. I think how hard it is. So, like, they had one student where they picked up that he was hitting with the top of his head, which, you know, that's a practice that can ultimately lead to spinal cord injury.
Yeah, I don't know if you're supposed to tackle that way.
No, you're not. You're supposed to look up and see what it is that you're hitting.
Did you guys play football in high school?
Huh? No.
You just know.
I know that.
What do you know? No, I didn't either.
I just did a news story on it.
Oh, all right.
I played lacrosse, but I got kicked out.
Why?
I don't know. It was like 2 weeks before the end of the season. I wasn't... I'm a better hockey player now than a lacrosse player then.
I played chess. It got pretty crazy. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like it could be of use to the kids.
Yep.
Safety first. All right, Jorge, back to you for, your second story?
Okay. My second story comes from the University of Oxford and the National History Museum, and they're teaming up to work on a new way to create greener and cheaper substitutes for iridescent cosmetics and paints, fabrics, and, you know, credit card holograms. And this would be using a plant-like microorganism called a diatom, which has a hard silica shell which is iridescent. And, you know, right now to produce these you know, tiny artificial reflectors, it's like a high temperature, high pressure industrial process that uses a lot of energy. And they're hoping that by using these little single-celled organisms that have the same properties, these iridescent qualities, they can breed these things, and they breed relatively fast. They say that within a month, you have 100 million descendants of one diatom. And you can use the iridescence in these shells to create, you know, to substitute for what we do now, for, you know, when you have that hologram on your credit card. And, it would be, you know, it could be a lot greener to produce, a lot less energy intensive, and something you could do just at normal room temperature and in a, you know, in a setting where you could have these things breed over time.
If you had one of those on your credit card and you put it in your wallet, wouldn't that kill it?
Well, I don't think it would be alive by the time that you had it on your credit card. It wouldn't be just like, they wouldn't just like take the organism and stick them on your credit card. But using the iridescent quality in the shell of this thing to do it. And they also mentioned that you could also do it from the cells on like a butterfly wing, like the scales of the butterfly wing. And they could grow these cells in like a culture medium. So you wouldn't really be like, you know, you would take the animal, but you'd be really using these cells and growing them.
You're going to win this week.
For that.
Yeah, that's a cool story too.
You never know though, man. I've had some weeks where I actually thought I was going to win, but it's the listeners. They decide.
Yeah. Well, I vote for that one.
Nice.
All right, James, back to you for third story.
My third story is from the University of Mississippi, where a researcher has basically figured out how to use an MP3 player to combat stuttering using this technique called delayed auditory feedback, which is where the person's voice who's stuttering, their voice is replayed to them. It, like, instant feedback, but the pitch is changed, and that somehow helps them stop stuttering. And I guess for a lot of people think that stuttering isn't so much that someone's stuck on a word as it is that they're failing to initiate the next sound that's supposed to come out. And so this delayed auditory feedback, I guess, helps get that process moving, get your brain sort of back on the right track so that you don't stutter. Normally, these devices cost like $5,000 to do it, and so this guy has figured out how to get the same process basically by using an MP3 player.
Wow,
so
cool.
People would be listening to it just like they would with, you know, a regular MP3 player, and it would be kind of like sort of like eggs them on if they start
right
before they stutter, like as they're.
I think as they're starting to stutter, it does it.
That's a pretty good story.
All right, Jorge, back to you for your last story.
So my last story comes out of the University of Warwick, and its researchers there have developed a means to better identify partial, distorted, smudged, and warped fingerprints. You know, most of these fingerprints that law enforcement officials may get, you know, that it's not a full, you know, fingerprint that you would best use to identify someone. A lot of times they're smudged or whatever, distorted, and they've used a system to kind of map the fingerprint. They create an entire detailed pattern of each print and transform it into like a topological pattern using like a standard coordinated system. And then it kind of unwarps the fingerprint that could have been created by like uneven pressure or whatever. And then it used that fingerprint to, you know, to identify the person. They can do so very rapidly. They also can, for the first time, according to this, allow for the comparison of the individual sweat pores on the fingerprint. So now it can actually map, you know, all the tiny little sweat pores that you have on the edge of your finger, to use that as well to identify individuals. The system created by the researchers would also give near instantaneous results, and they say that instead of, you know, comparing the print to each entry in a database, the new print scanned by the system would be overlaid onto a virtual image space that would include fingerprints, all in, you know, the other fingerprints available in the database, and they say it doesn't matter, you know, if there's 1,000 or 1,000,000 fingerprints in the database, but the results would come back in seconds. And that reminds me of, like, those shows you see on TV, those forensic shows where they, like, put a fingerprint in the computer and it's like, boom, and they have a match right away, which, you know, is so fake. But, you know, according to these guys, you know, that could be a very real possibility.
Didn't you do another story, Jorge, about fingerprints, how you can tell what somebody ate, or James did that?
I think I did that.
I think Jorge did that.
Like the foods. Oh, that was right. It was using the hormones, not the hormones, whatever, you know, that whatever nutrients or something that you eat would kind of seep out of your fingers. So you'll be able to find someone with a smudged fingerprint that ate a hamburger at 2 p.m. the day before.
Right. All right, so we take it to the listeners who get to decide your fates. You can choose James's story or Jorge's story. Choose your favorite one. Email us at pod_cast@discovery.com, or you can call us and leave a message. Tell us what story you're choosing and why at 888-890-6339. Let's quickly recap the stories. James, tell us what you did.
All right. Cure for cancer. High school people wear helmets that say where they're getting, how bad their concussions are. And modified MP3 players help people who stutter.
All right. And Jorge?
Okay. A better way of detecting liquid explosives that wouldn't inconvenience everyone. My second story was a greener way for, to create holograms, cosmetics, paints, anything with iridescent qualities. And my last story was a new technology that would identify warped fingerprints at warp speed. Sorry, that's just the headline.
I want to change my vote. I vote for your first one. The last one of yours was a little bit more boring.
So, James, help me. Do you feel comfortable because you're in the lead?
What's that?
Do you feel comfortable doing that because you're in the lead?
No, right? I'm just being honest.
Oh, that's cool.
But I do. I think the first one's really good. Actually, I like his voice, too.
I detect a little, reverse psychology.
Yeah, he's doing something.
This whole time. Don't fall for it, listeners.
He's insidious. All right, so again, the email pod_cast@discovery.com. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us your favorite story and why, or if you have a question, a comment, anything. Set us straight on something we said wrong. We'd be happy to hear from you. Right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
All right, well, have a great week, James and Jorge.
Thanks, Will. You too.
Discovery News reporters James Williams and Jorge Ribas. And for Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson.